B.J. Tanksley, State Legislative Director for Missouri Farm Bureau.
B.J., thanks for being here today and giving us an update on what's happening for agriculture in Missouri legislatively. We are getting, you know, close to the end of the session, but it sounds like some action was taken, has been taken in the last several days, including late last week. Can you give us an update on what's going on?
Yeah, the Capitol has been busy the last couple of weeks for sure. And just to start things off, we'll talk about some of the ag-related bills we've seen move recently. Taking the lead on some ag issues would be House Committee Bill 16 and Senate Bill 627. Both would be considered kind of ag omnibus bills, and both are in the opposite chamber. So they've passed the House and Senate respectively, and just waiting on action from the other. Now, these are big bills and contain several different provisions at this point. Some of the highlights would be included in House Committee Bill 16 would be provisions related to agricultural land values. This places restrictions on the amount to which ag land values can be increased by the State Tax Commission. It doesn't say they can't increase, but it just says if they're going to, that they should only increase by 2% each time, and then over 10 years, only an 8% increase. So it does allow for increases, but it keeps us from seeing those drastic increases that we've seen other states take. You know, when we look at other states, we've seen issues where they've taken big increases when the ag industry was doing well, and then when we see commodity prices come back down, that becomes very difficult for the producers. So that's one of the main things we would like to see in that one. It also includes provisions relating to labeling of meat products that do not come from an animal carcass, and as well as regulation of ag inputs, and that is seed and fertilizers, and making it clear that should stay at the Department of Agriculture level to just make sure that we don't have a patchwork of regulations across the state where you could see operations that, you know, cross county lines having to play by different rules in different areas. It just doesn't make sense. And we believe that the correct place for ag regulations is with MDA, and that's why we'd like to see that get done as well. So there's a couple of big things going on there. Senate Bill 627 was actually voted from the Rules Committee in the House just yesterday, and so it only awaits final action by the House. Obviously, they will have the opportunity to amend it if they choose to, but it could just be taken up and passed and then be ready to be sent to the governor's desk. Committee Bill 16, which is in the Senate, actually still needs to be taken up by the Senate Ag Committee, but they just got the bill this past week, so hopefully next week we'll see them take it up and see if we can't get some of these big issues for agriculture taken care of. So, yeah.
Okay, so House Bill 16 and Senate Bill 627 are going to be combined ultimately?
No, I wouldn't say that. There's a lot of the provisions that are in each. There's a few that aren't, but for instance, the ag land values is in Committee Bill 16, but not in 627, whereas 627 has just a few smaller, it's a few less provisions. The House added a few more to 16. We'll see what comes out in the end. I don't know that we get both, but we'd like to see as many of those issues get solved before the end of the year.
Anything in 627 that you want to share?
Yeah, it does include the fake meat provisions, or the meat not from animal carcass. It does include allowing for the slaughter of captive servants. It doesn't say that who should regulate that, MDC or MDA, but it does allow for meat processing to process captive servants as they do other livestock, and it includes those ag inputs as well. So it does have some good provisions, including urban gardens and a yield tax on forest lands and others. But yeah, those are some of the highlights from 627 for sure.
Now, the meat processing of captive servants, why is that in there, and has that not been allowed heretofore?
Well, you know, there has been some controversy in the state of Missouri over who controls captive servants, whether they're considered wildlife or livestock. And so this doesn't get into that debate. That debate's been going on for a few years now and actually is at the courts, and we're waiting a decision from the Supreme Court, I believe. But this just says we should not block being able to process those animals. And this isn't your wildlife or harvested through hunting. This is actually that we're raised as livestock. And one of the arguments for it is if MDC prevails in the Supreme Court case, that those producers are going to have to be able to do something with these animals, and therefore, you know, letting them go to market would make the most sense at this point.
Okay. I want to go back and ask a couple questions about some of the things you already mentioned. The ag land values, I know that has been a debate, and you mentioned other states that are having issues with this. Would that be any of our neighboring states of Missouri? Or?
The one I hear from specifically would be Nebraska. We have friends at Farm Bureau in Nebraska, and when we talk about our state-level priorities, their top priority and their top three and maybe even their only priority is trying to address their ag land values. They see, you know, their taxing on ag land as a major issue to their industry. You know, we saw some good years in our past, and hopefully we see some more in our near future. But right now, with commodity prices where they are, it can be difficult. So hopefully we can put these reasonable restrictions in place to prevent those large increases when things do look like they're going well.
On the regulation of ag inputs, we know that the Department of Agriculture is taking, and the Greitens administration has had this review of regulations and trying to reduce them for agriculture. So is this legislation, how is this legislation necessary? Is it just to make sure that that continues no matter what the administration, who the administration is?
Yeah. Well, we think so. And this isn't about trying to avoid regulation. It's just trying to make sure that we have common regulations across county lines. As we see producers having more and more acres, whether they be livestock or row crop, we want to make sure, like I said, there's not that patchwork of regulations if a county decides to take up. And we've seen issues with new technology across the state, and we want to make sure that we don't see drastic reactions, and we make sure we're stepping with it. You know, MDA has always done a good job of taking the whole state into account, and so we trust them as far as that regulation goes.
Okay, and on the labeling of meat products, I know there's been a group formed that is trying to push back on that because they say that their product is just very similar to meat, a meat alternative. So where, you know, just to remind farmers and livestock producers where Farm Bureau comes down on this issue and where, and I understand, of course, the Missouri Cattlemen's supports this as well as Missouri pork producers.
Yes, this has been a major priority for our cattlemen and our pork producers in the state. And from Farm Bureau's perspective, it's about correct labeling, you know, and making sure that we're being truth in advertising when it comes to those things of what is and what is not actual meat. And they may be very well meat-like, but we all have a pretty common understanding of what we think of when we hear the word beef, bacon, meat, burger, those kinds of words. And to try to take advantage of that with a new product probably isn't for the best for everyone. So,
all right. I understand some rural broadband legislation has also advanced. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so there's two bills moving on rural broadband. One would be House Bill 1872, which would create a rural broadband fund. Farm Bureau's been working on that for a while, and we've got a really good piece of legislation that was just reported from the Senate Commerce Committee yesterday. So it only awaits Senate action, and hopefully in the next couple of weeks we can get that. And that bill would help facilitate new broadband into areas that don't have it. It would create a state fund to help facilitate those high cost areas. But then this week, just yesterday, we saw the House take up, truly agree, and pass House Bill 1880. And House Bill 1880 addresses an issue that our rural electric cooperatives were facing, where they had been sued over the use of existing easement language to facilitate broadband technology. Missouri Farm Bureau members took up this issue in our policy book just a few years ago, where we said, if we're not seeing a change in use to our property and there's no change of what we're actually seeing, we want to get broadband, and we feel like that our rural electric cooperative should be able to use their existing infrastructure to facilitate broadband. We know that, you know, getting broadband to the most rural areas of Missouri is going to be difficult, and that allowing some of these electric cooperatives to get into the business without having the fear of large suit coming someday is the direction we felt willing to go. 1880 may not bring broadband tomorrow to anybody, but it gets out of the way of one of the things that was holding broadband back to a lot of folks. So we think it's a step in the right direction and allows our co-ops to move forward with what a lot of them have been doing, which is bringing great quality broadband service to a lot of rural Missourians.
Okay, thank you for that update. I think it's important maybe for you to chime in a little bit on this legislative session in terms of getting things done, the atmosphere that's happening in the governor's office. So is there a possibility that you guys can get all these things done, but the governor doesn't sign them for whatever reason? Like, explain this. These are pretty unprecedented times now.
Yes, the phrase I've been using is these are very interesting times that we're working in at this point. You know, there's obviously a lot of outside noise going on, and there have been a few days where it's definitely changed the activity in the Capitol. But I have to give House and Senate leadership a lot of credit for what they've done. You know, there's a lot of different ways they could have handled the situation that's going on. They could have only focused on that and not gotten any legislation done. Or they could have ignored that and maybe passed some legislation. But they've really threaded a needle really well where they've faced the issues. The House with their investigative committee have been looking into what is and isn't true out there. And then at the same time, continuing the work of the Capitol. I'll just be honest with you. I think it's been a great work by leadership on both sides to try to keep the legislative session on the track. And I don't see any reason why in these last couple of weeks they probably don't proceed in the same direction. I realize there was big news yesterday that they may take up those issues following session. But as far as session goes, we've seen some great successes, and I don't see any reason why in these next couple of weeks they won't still be productive, I should say. So.
But a bill doesn't become law without the governor's signature.
Yes. You know, I think those conversations will be really interesting, and obviously there'll be a lot of motion between now and mid-July when those deadlines hit. So I wouldn't even begin to guess how those all play out. So.
Yes. And finally, BJ, anything else that you would like to share with us about what's happening?
Yeah, we had a great success yesterday as well with the passage of Senate Bill 782. Senate Bill 782 relates to DNR and included a few provisions that Missouri Farm Bureau was in favor of, including one that made clarification to Missouri's Clean Water Law that says agriculture, stormwater runoff, and irrigation is exempt from permitting requirements unless it enters a water of the state and renders that water harmful. So if Missouri farmers and ranchers are doing business as usual, not causing any harm, then there's nothing that they should see change. However, if by chance there was to be harm, then we don't want to see agriculture not having to, to stand up for that. So I think it's a positive step in the right direction. As far as do we see any change, probably not, but it's a good clarification. There was some interpretations of that law that could have said that all of agriculture was under the permitting requirements, which would have been out of line with the federal Clean Water Law. So this brings Missouri law in line with federal law and makes it clear that agriculture, as long as they're acting in the right ways, are exempt from those permitting requirements. So I think it's a positive step for Missouri farmers and ranchers as well.
It sounds like also a protection in the event of federal Clean Water Law if we see another Waters of the U.S. rule come out that isn't friendly to farmers.
Yeah, I think you could probably see it stand up, in those kind of situations as a place where good regulations were working, yeah.